It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the book of John, we're presently in chapter 21. Now, last time we looked at chapter 21 and we saw how that Peter and the apostles were fishing and they had caught nothing. Well, in verse 4 of 21, it says, "But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." Well, they didn't recognize him at that point. And I made mention before, if you're fishing like these men, they were professional fishermen. If they saw someone on the shore, it wouldn't have been a big deal to them just to see someone on the shore. Verse 5 says, "Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No." And Jesus was wanting to know, and of course he already knew. He asked them, had they caught anything? Did they have anything to show for their night's labor? And they said, No. Well, verse 6, it says, "And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes." Well, I've mentioned this before, that if we listen to the Word of God, till we listen to Jesus Christ, the living Word, we will catch fish. I'm not talking about as these men were catching, well, they didn't catch any fish that night, but I'm not talking about them drawing or getting the net full of fishes, real fishes there, or fish, if you want to say. What I'm speaking of is catching souls, as giving the gospel out to individuals. If we follow the Lord, then he's going to use us to speak to other individuals, telling them that Jesus saves. And therefore, the Bible likens souls to fish. And when we think of this, we see many churches today who've gotten away from this Word of God. They've gotten away from the fact that if they will do it God's way, they will see souls saved. Many people today have gotten discouraged in many churches because they don't see the people coming to Jesus as they think that people should come to Jesus. Let me remind you that it's the Lord who gives the increase. It is our job as Christians to give out the Word of God, and if I could put it this way, it's God's job to present to them through the Holy Spirit as he convicts the heart, to present to that lost person the way of salvation. Now, we tell them about salvation. We tell them how to go to heaven. That's lost people. We tell them what they must do to get saved, and that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust him, and the Word uses the Word, the living Word, and God's Word says that the person repents to get saved. And that word repent means to have a change of mind, really realizing that you can't go the way you are. You can't go to heaven the way you are. You must trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You're not going to go your way any longer, but you're going to go God's way, and that is the way to heaven. Well, many churches today have gotten away from that plan of salvation. Still yet, they want to have a crowd. So many of these so-called fundamental churches today, and by the way, they're no longer fundamental because they've turned their church, the facility that they have, calling it a church, they've turned that into a place of not worship as such, into a place of games, into a place of really being entertained instead of giving out the Word of God. And so many times we see in the fundamental movement today how that churches, if they have not closed, they will be closed eventually because they're not preaching the Word of God. And I would remind you that what you win them to, that's what you have to keep them with. And many times we've seen this in churches that have closed. You can't keep the people. You cannot keep them entertained for very long. They will get away from the entertainment that is being offered there in that so-called fundamental church that's supposed to be preaching the Word of God, but they've turned into entertainment centers. And we need to look to the Word for is to do it God's way and not man's way. Man's way leads to hell. But God's way leads to eternal life. And that way, of course, when we receive Jesus as our Savior, we do have eternal life right then. But if a church, a group of people, people who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if they will stay to the Word of God and do things God's way, there will be success. And let me say this. I made mention before that many churches, they get discouraged. I'm talking about people now in a church facility. They get discouraged because they're not seeing a large influx of souls coming into that church. They get discouraged. They want to do things their way. Well, if we do things God's way, it doesn't always mean we're going to have a large work, a large church, a large gathering of people. There is nothing wrong with a large gathering as long as it's being done God's way. And there's nothing wrong with having a small gathering, I'm speaking of church now, if it's done God's way. God does not look on the size of the church, the group of people. He looks on the hearts of those individuals. He looks at what's being done to serve Him and what's being done to give out the Word of God. So therefore, I would encourage you, if you're a member of a local Bible-believing, preaching church that stands on the Word of God, you may be going through a difficult time as a group of individuals. And when I say you may be going through a difficult time, I mean that if you're not seeing a lot of people saved, then stay with the Word. Keep giving out the plan of salvation. The souls will come if you're doing what God wants you to do. Once again, a small church does not necessarily mean that that group of individuals are not doing what God wants them to do. In other words, giving out the Word, telling people how to be saved. It's something that we need to continually pray and ask God, oh God, give us souls. May we see, Lord, souls being saved, coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, so that we can one day rejoice with them in heaven. We do not get souls saved, or we don't get souls saved anyway, and there's no way that we're going to get them saved. We depend upon the Lord to save them. We give out the Word of God, and it is so important for us to realize what a great privilege it is for a soul to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when we get that into our minds and in our hearts, I believe that things fall into place. We don't get frustrated because we don't see a large influx of individuals coming into the church. We don't get frustrated as long as we're doing it God's way. Listen to the voice of God and let God lead and guide. You'll notice here that these people in chapter 21 of John, they had fished and they had caught nothing. Well, we see, is that a failure? Well, they failed to catch the fish. But then we see that they did not fail because they listened to Jesus Christ. They listened to what He had to say, and they were more than successful because there were so many fish within the net that they could not bring that net to shore or into the boat. And well, later on we see they did bring it to shore, but they could not bring it into the boat. They could not lift it up. They had to drag it to shore. And this is something that God will instill in our hearts, that if we stay true to Him, stay true to the Word, that there will be success. Verse 7 of John 21 says, therefore, after all of this takes place now, they had caught all of these fish in the net. They could not bring it into the ship because there were so many that they could not bring it into that boat. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, and I believe this would be John the Apostle, says, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. Now Peter was a person who reacted impetuously. He was the one who would do things without even thinking. And he must have been a good swimmer because we read how that he did get to the shore. But as we read this, understand that Peter wanted to see his Lord and his Savior. Now, he already knew that He had risen from the dead. and he wanted to see him again. Now notice in verse 8, "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes." Remember, they had so many fish within that net, Jesus told them, "Cast to the right side and you're going to catch fish." And they did that with their net, and the net was so full they could not bring it into the boat, into the ship. So therefore, they had to drag the net behind them as they came into the shore. They dragged that net behind the ship, the boat, and they came to the shore. Now notice it says, "dragging the net with fishes" in verse 8. In verse 9, "As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread." You see, Jesus did not need the fish that these men had caught in that net. Jesus doesn't need the things that we as human beings think that we need. Jesus does not need those things. Jesus is all in all. Jesus is able to supply the need without our help. And what I mean by that is this. When we get in our minds that we're indispensable to God, then we're making a big mistake. Jesus is all in all. We have a privilege of serving him. Jesus is going to get the job done with or without us. But thank God that he's given us the opportunity to serve him, to do the things he wants us to do. And that's a great privilege for a saved person to be able to say, "I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. I am a representative of the God of heaven, the only true God, the only creator of this world and everything that exists." What a great privilege it is to be able to say, "I know Jesus Christ as my Savior." But notice, Jesus already had the fish. He didn't need the fish that was in the net. He already had the fish that was necessary. Now notice, they saw a fire of coals and fish laid thereon and bread. Now I've got a message that I've presented on occasion called the Lord's Breakfast. We often think of the Lord's Supper, but sometimes we forget the Lord's Breakfast. Well, here, Jesus is presenting a breakfast to these men who had toiled all night long. The Lord's Breakfast. He had fish and he had bread. Notice verse 10. "Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fishes which have now caught. Now, Jesus wanted them to see that although they had caught all of these fish, that they had all that they needed from Jesus Christ. In other words, they had the fish ready for them to eat. They had the bread ready to eat. Jesus was ready and willing to supply the sustenance that they needed because they had toiled all night long. They had caught nothing. They were tired. No doubt they were tired. But Jesus said, "I've got all you need right here. I've got the fish. I've got the food that you need." And the real food that they needed and that we need today is Jesus Christ, the Word of God. We need to get into his book. We need to read the Bible and get fed with that manna from on high, which is the Word of God. And I trust you have been fed from the Word of God. Today, if you've gotten into the book, you have been fed.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.